Super Gamecast 64, episode 130. Today on the show, over in Germany, they had a Gamescom, and we got so much news from it. There's been some great new games, some great old games, mobile, console, PC, all this and more on episode 130 of Super Gamecast 64. One of my beautiful co-hosts,
DJ!
Buckle up. Ooh, DJ, buckle up for what, Kevin?
Buckle up for all the games that are coming at you.
The game's all here. The Super Gamecast 64. It's a comedy show. It's also a video game show where if you don't laugh, you're probably a sociopath. Asterisk, we're not actually medical professionals. We're also the official podcast of SuperGameSite64.com. I'm your host, Matt. With me, as always, we got...
It's Kevin. Also, don't listen to Tyler if he tells you he's a doctor. He's a liar.
And we got...
I have a PhD.
Dr. Tyler. He's a doctor insofar as Mario is also a doctor.
Mario's a doctor? For real, I throw pills at people.
Yeah, but he doesn't prescribe them, he just throws them at
you. Go away, virus.
As of late, wasn't it Nintendo? Yeah, that's Tyler. This is Super Gamecast 64, guys. Welcome to the show. If you're new to the show, because we have been getting a lot of new listeners in this fifth season, we like to mix it up. We like to talk about news.
Like babies.
We like, new babes introduced to the SGC 64 fam.
New SGC babies.
We're rocking them. Rocking them to sleep with our favorite games. We talk about the games we've been playing, also the games that have been recently released. We have a few fun segments, some user-submitted segments. We got so many cool things to talk about. But seriously, guys, this episode is jam-packed with all sorts of content. It's been a bustling month, full of crazy news.
It's been a crazy, crazy month.
But before we talk about this month, can we all together, like, commiserate as a group about September, also October, I mean, I haven't looked at the calendar, but probably November, and just how brutal it's going to be on our wallets.
Let me just throw this out there first, okay? So,
chuck it up.
You guys always know, usually around March or April, my summer is starting to come into form, right? The weekends start
second
getting
summer
filled, right?
Filled summers.
Okay? You know that I'm going to be completely incommunicado for a solid 3 to 4 months.
Cream-filled summers.
While I'm outside doing shit. You know, like the place that with the leaves and stuff.
The wish pool?
Yeah, the wish pool.
Well, outside?
Yeah, outside. The end of my summer tends to peter off a little bit. And for once, I'm actually free on a holiday weekend for the most part, okay?
Kevin actually has free time to schedule. It's an amazing feat.
It's insane. It's
they
insane.
Said, humanity said it could not happen. And yet, here we stand.
They did. But
corrected.
I say all that to say this. Recently, this weekend, we all went to a good friend of ours' wedding.
And, yeah, it was so beautiful.
It was awesome.
I cried harder than I cried when I watched Mufasa die in the new version of The Lion King.
The new one.
I didn't cry at all at that.
Oh, okay.
So the one tear I shed seeing Evo's tight butt,
dude,
was well worth it.
All right. So basically, I said all that to mention how absolutely dog tired I am because of how hard Evo and his extended Croatian family party.
Dude, they go hard. If hard in the paint was still a phrase that people would say, they would be hard in the paint, almost inventing the paint itself. One could say, I've never done the Croatian wedding. I come from an Italian family, which weddings, those weddings are also crazy. Video games. Sorry, I had to like make sure.
That's okay.
But yeah, these Croatians,
they transcended the language barrier with liquor.
And desserts.
Donuts.
I didn't look at the table.
Well, it was a lot of, I'm talking about outside of the wedding. Okay, so the wedding was awesome. The wedding was fantastic. It was beautiful. It was fun. Music was great. The food was amazing. Dude, that beef stew. Oh, I just want that for the rest of my life, every day.
Oh, my mom.
Anyway, so Friday night, we were at the hotel that our friend was staying in, the bride was staying in.
Okay.
And I was there till 1 a.m.
Nice.
I woke up the next morning at 7.
Cream-filled summers.
Went to the groom's parents' house.
Yeah.
They are first-generation Croatians in this country.
Nice.
So they don't speak a whole lot of English, and neither do their friends.
This is where you started to transcend the barrier with alcohol?
Yeah, because nice, 8 a.m., they were pouring their plum liquor for everyone. There was an accordion player branding at 9 a.m.
Small. Okay? Yeah.
We were drinking and eating, like, I was eating foods and meats that I was not able to identify, but they were delicious.
Don't ask, just eat.
When you started this story, I thought perhaps you were complaining about the amount of time that you don't get to spend playing video games. But here is now the question. Would you rather get white girl wasted off of Croatian plum wine and learn the alcohol-infused Rosetta Stone that is the secret unlocking to the Croatian language,
you know,
or play Assassin's Creed Odyssey?
It's funny to me because that you say that, because the bride did confide in me that she feels a lot more apt and a lot more confident speaking Croatian to his family when she is drunk.
Well, now that Kevin has broken someone's confidence, that's not...
confidence.
Let's talk about Gamescom, boys!
Anyway, I just wanted to throw that out there as a little, like, intro. Congratulations to our friends.
Yeah, no, seriously, congrats. It was beautiful. I had a great time. The food was excellent. The dancing was superb. There was a great little, like, a photo booth thing. We will definitely post one of the cute photos we took to the Instagram and to the Facebook group, so you guys can see how dapper we look when we're looking our finest. But I did just want to bring up at the top, before we dive into news here, that seriously, guys, September is full of game releases, and maybe it's not like four or five a weekend, like it gets crazy during the holidays, but it seems like there's something for everyone, from like a Gears of War on the Xbox and the PC, to Blasphemous, which is that, we'll talk about that in news, on the Switch. You got Link's Awakening, which is that the Zelda game. There's a Zelda game coming out in 2019 for the Switch. You know, the Zelda. There's all these great things, and the end of August is packed as well. Blair Witch Project, Control, Man of Medan, which the Until Dawn people's new game. I wanted to express my enjoyment and anticipation of all these fun games, and also the deep growing dread that is the void at the bottom of my wallet. With that,
yeah,
it's funny because it's true.
Let's go to Germany. In our minds.
Gamescom.
GDC. Is that the same thing? Dude, I'm the journalist here. I should know. Yes, I think it is. Gamescom, the Games Developer Conference.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about it?
I don't know if GDC and Gamescom are the same thing now. Dude, my brain has been a ton of munch. But anyways,
A ton of munch?
Yeah. Gamescom was in Cologne, Germany.
Cologne.
Tyler, do some Googling. See if
is that where they invented cologne?
Yeah.
That's actually, an answer. That's real close to Cripes.
They named the city after the smell of good.
Where is the... No, that's not how that
please,
works.
Please, Tyler, look up on the Google if Gamescom and GDC are two different things or just synonymous acronyms. And, you know, I feel a stupid on the show.
You feel a stupid?
Cologne, though... I do hear is named after the sweet, sweet smell of victory, which is what a lot of people were feeling after we saw all these Gamescom announcements.
Is that what that smell is?
I don't know what else it would have been, aside from BO. But who knows BO at conventions and conferences? That never happens, dude. Gamescom. A lot of things happened at Gamescom. If you saw E3, the presentations they did at E3, there was some similar presentations. We had Jeff Keighley, the Dorito Pope himself, putting on the opening night live ceremony, in which there was a few announcements we'll discuss there. You had Xbox. They did their Inside Xbox thing as normal. Tyler, have you found anything?
Beep, beep.
It's... Yeah.
Beep, beep,
is that your searching
noise? He's still searching.
This is loading.
Breaking news. Breaking news.
Ooh.
Gamescom 2020 is different from GDC 2020.
So Gamescom was what was just recently.
Gamescom, the heart of gaming.
Yeah. That was recently. So GDC is not the same as Gamescom. I feel embarrassed. Conference. I feel embarrassed and ashamed, and my journalistic integrity is ruined. Gamescom, you had Microsoft. They were inside the Xbox, not outside, inside. They were filming and streaming directly from inside your home console and your Kinect watching you. And then Nintendo, they opened the world.
Inside of it?
Inside.
How do they fit it all in?
You never know. That's the mystery of the cloud. Nintendo had
there's a cloud in there too.
Nintendo World Showcase. Oh, BTW, guys, before we drop an F-bomb. This is an explicit show. If you're under the age of like 13 or
I
don't know.
I want to point out, I have been waiting for the 10-minute mark.
Just so you could say
because everybody always gives me a hard time that I say it within the first 4 minutes. I'm trying to turn over a new leaf here, people.
Dude, you're getting there. Anyways, Gamescom, you had the Nintendo Indie World Showcase, in which they announced, like, every indie on the face of the planet was going to be on the Switch, including, like, Ori and the Blind Forest and a bunch of others. But it was tons of fun. And then the opening presentations were followed by a few days of conferences and stuff. It was interesting. It was exciting, and we have a few news stories here to discuss. Is there anything on this agenda here, boys, on Gamescom, that jumps out to you guys want to talk about immediately? Tyler.
More like game scam. Got him.
Calm down. Tyler, it's, Tyler, he likes some things with a fervent passion, and he hates most all other things. So I wanted to make sure he got the first choice in jumping into Gamescom.
You didn't send it to me.
My bad. I will send it to you now. As we start, let's discuss, you know what? Yeah, let's just discuss the most important news. Dorito Pope. You guys know Dorito Pope.
He's in the thing.
Dorito Pope. If you guys haven't been with us for the past few seasons, the Dorito Pope is what we like to call the Jeff. The Geoff Keighley. Tyler, that's sent to you now, so you have the agenda, and you can look it over in case there's something more important than the Dorito Pope himself. The Dorito Pope, of course, Geoff Keighley, a good friend of Hideo Kojima, the developer of the fantastic game series Metal Gear Solid. We all like MGS here, right?
Nope.
Kevin?
Yeah.
I'm bad at it, but I have a decent time. He's making that new game, Death Stranding. We know what that game is about, right?
Yeah, connections.
Tyler?
Online capabilities.
Exact. Hope. Norman Reedus. A Baby. Mads Mikkelsen. Baby. Invisible Monsters. But now confirmed at Gamescom. It was actually really weird. Hideo Kojima came up and he was like, well, I was going to wait till Tokyo Game Show to show off some gameplay. But since this is Geoff Keighley's show and I really want to make a good impression, I'm going to show some gameplay. And they open it up. The gameplay is Norman Reedus waking up from a nap and taking a piss. Just for like 20 seconds.
Dude,
and
that's
some online capabilities.
That's not something you explicitly include in most video games.
That's what, it was groundbreaking because we always joke, like, how does Master Chief hold the poop inside him for six Halos?
He doesn't.
Norman Reedus peeing on screen. But it was funny because they had the live audio feeding back from the crowd and people were like, woo, well, yeah, oh, yeah, oh. And then just keep going. It kept going. Norman Reedus finished up his tinkle, went up to this outpost, and there was a computerized version. The likeness, thank you, Tyler, for that great word.
Did you see his dinger?
No, I don't. Okay. The camera kept turning to try and see Norman's dinger, and then it was, they would, like, Norman would turn, and he was like, you can't see my little Reedus? Get out of here.
Wait, because the implications of that would be that they had to attach one of those little motion tracker golf balls to his dinger.
A little glove. It's a condom with a bunch of little balls. That's funny.
A little white dinger golf ball.
We're getting a little blue here on Norman Reedus.
It is post 10 minutes, and I still haven't said...
Fuck, dude. He goes up to this outpost, Norman Reedus, who is the main character in Death Stranding, and he activates some sort of computer device AI thing, a Cortana, but it's a dude, and it looks like Geoff Keighley. Not voiced by Geoff Keighley, but his name is Ludens Fan. Yeah, no, it's Geoff Keighley's face as a computer person. But it's not voiced by Geoff Keighley, which I thought was funny. At first, the audience didn't realize it was Geoff Keighley and they didn't clap. But then once the computer animation got less glitchy and they focused in on it multiple times with the left trigger, they're like, oh, that's Geoff Keighley. And everyone clapped. Death Stranding coming out November 12th. November of this year, maybe. I'm surprised. Tyler, do you think it'll be pushed back the last second?
I certainly hope so.
Jesus.
Gives us more to know about the stupid game.
Online capabilities, third person ladder. Literally, I think it's literal connections, because in the gameplay trailer for Death Stranding, we did see Norman Reedus using a giant ladder that could extend very far, and it seems like most of the gameplay is you attempting to form a connection between the ground and a place that you're trying to reach with a ladder. So that'll be interesting when the Dorito Pope pops into Death Stranding. I can't wait. The Dorito Pope rises.
You love the ladders in the hit game The Last of Us? Well, you're going to love Death Stranding.
It's even slower than The Last of Us. I feel like we've had so many episodes named after the Dorito Pope. Would this be like the Dorito Pope Reckoning? The Dorito Pope.
Rise of the Dorito Pope?
I feel like we've done that. The Dorito Pope Revolutions.
The Popening?
The Dorito Pope 4 featuring Keanu Reeves.
The Dorito Pope The Popening.
The Dorito Pope The Popening. We'll workshop it in post. We won't. What I was talking about earlier, more news from Gamescom. Nintendo had their Indie World Showcase. There's a lot of Nintendo Switch games. Of those games, Blasphemous. I don't know if you guys have heard of this game.
Yes.
Blasphemous.
2D, very gory.
I don't want to say it, but we all want to say it. Are we going to say it? Kevin, do you know a Blast? Do you know the Blasphemous?
No.
You haven't? Salt and Sanctuary, which is...
It's the Dark Souls of Darks. What?
Oh.
It's a Dark Souls one.
It's a 2D Dark Souls platformer.
It looks good. If you've seen anything about Blasphemous, you've probably seen it's a boss and it's
Dead Cells?
No, Dead Cells is a Metroidvania roguelike.
The reason everyone's equating it to Dark Souls is it's a lot of blasphemous imagery, like a blinded baby with like a crown of thorns. I can't say shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a lot of grotesque imagery and stuff.
It's like BOI had a baby with Salt and Sanctuary.
But is it like really? Edgelordy?
No.
No, it doesn't seem so.
No.
But that will be releasing not only on the Switch, but also on PS4 and Xbox One on September 26th.
It's just gross.
It looks a little gross. It looks evocative in tone. Tyler, are you excited for Blasphemous?
You know, I'm not really excited to get my character pulled apart.
But you're excited to see what can pull him apart.
Now, you know, okay, so...
I feel like this is the line, this is the tightrope that Tyler walks between the horror genre and his love for punishing video games.
This is that line. That's where I got, like, Salt Sanctuary is about as dark as I get.
Is it hard to play scary games like this with one hand over your face? You're looking through, he's peeping through his, like, fingers, ah! And also trying to pull off, like, these one-frame tricks.
I have an awesome blindfold for this.
Blasphemous... will be coming September 26th. I'm looking forward to it. Kevin, now that you know that this is Dark Souls with blinded children as bosses, are you interested?
Ooh.
Nothing quite like it.
What's it for?
A Switch, PS4, and Xbox One. I just said that. Come on. EA Sports, you had in the game.
I fucking listen to you.
You're not wrong. Speaking of other things...
Ah, damn it. I broke my streak.
How much?
I think probably 25 to 30, I would say. Yeah. I feel like this game's art style and the passion. Maybe. It's been
how
in,
much could Blasphemous possibly be?
It's no more than $40. It's no more than Bloodstained Ritual of the Night.
I'll just go play Binding of Isaac.
You're not wrong, but it's a different kind of game. Moving on from Blasphemous to a different kind of small horror game, Little Nightmares 2. Not the big nightmares, the little nightmares. Do you guys remember Little Nightmares?
Yes.
Kevin.
Yeah, no.
The
I don't
girl in the raincoat.
A whole lot about my childhood.
Yeah, well, okay. Well, you might recall that time when you were like 3 years old and you were wearing the yellow raincoat and you weren't Georgie from It, but right. You were in fact this little girl, and then there was like big fat people trying to eat you, and
dude,
then
I hate when that happens.
Yeah. That was Little Nightmares, and now you can relive the sequel to your childhood, Little Nightmares 2, which is, I gotta be honest, I didn't watch too many. Tyler's losing it. Tyler, episode 130.
I just have to interrupt. I tried to swipe in Blasphemous.
Yeah, how'd that
into
work
my
out?
Phone. It came out Hoagies.
Hoagies! Coming September 26th to Nintendo Switch Lite near you. Exclusive.
I like to think that is a direct result of the word that you type more.
You try to type anything, it's like, did you mean Hoagies?
I don't type Hoagies that often.
You're like looking for like the directions of the BMV and they're like, did you mean Subway? Did you mean Chili Feast Cheesesteak? I can't talk.
Your
Little Nightmares
Chili
2.
Feast Steak.
Your phone picture, yes. Fat dude.
Little Nightmares Rude. 2 will be coming very soon, I believe, 2020, maybe 2019. I didn't catch the date, but you guys can look it up. I actually really like Little Nightmares. I thought it was fun. I like horror games. Wasn't Little Nightmares too scary for you, Tyler?
I didn't play it.
Okay.
It's too scary.
Too scary. He's like, fuck it, I'm out. Let's move on to another surprise announcement. There was a lot, if you're noticing the trend here, surprise announcements was the name of the game at Gamescom.
25.
Do you guys like Yakuza?
Nope. That's your bag.
No one likes Yakuza here but me. I love Yakuza. The Yakuza...
That's good.
I feel like the Yakuza devs don't want you to play anything else. Because every time you turn around, it's like, new Yakuza game. Well, you just came out with
one. The thing is they released Yakuza in Japan, and then all of a sudden the West started getting hip to it after Yakuza 0, and now they're just releasing every single game. Yakuza 5, Yakuza 3, and Yakuza 4. That was a weird way of putting this compilation together. It's Yakuza Remastered Collection, including Yakuza 3, 4, and 5. But what I was saying was Yakuza 5 was like on the PS3, like 6 years ago. So these are games that have already been released, but they are giving it the 60 FPS 4K new translation. And the interesting thing about this is it's Yakuza Remastered Collection. Yakuza 3 is available now. You pay $60, but Yakuza 4 and 5 will be unlocked at a later date. These boys are going dangerous. They're going to try and chew gum. On air.
Joke's on you, I chew gum every week.
I know.
I won't do it then.
The thing is that...
I'm bad at it.
Kevin, yeah, you, Tyler...
I have no skill.
I have be no like chill. Listening Kevin, to a donkey cast.
Kevin, stop. Oh my god. Stop.
Welcome to Tyler's ASMR. It's only smacking lips.
I only did it like four times.
I liked Yakuza. Rude. I liked Yakuza Kiwami 2. I liked Yakuza 0. I like all the Yakuzas.
Missed again.
They're pretty fun. Yakuza Remastered Collection is a good deal, but it's just weird that you can...
No.
Don't you chew fucking...
What?
It's nothing. They're like... Kevin and Tyler are doing like these fucking Sam Fisher Chaos Theory co-op. No.
I gave him one of these. It was a rude gesture that I gave to him behind Matt's back because I didn't want Matt yelling at me. Yakuza, and now here we are.
Yakuza Remastered Collection, $60 for three games, but you only get one game until 2020. Tyler, how do you feel about that?
Wait, you only get one Yakuza game?
That's what I'm saying. It's a three-game pack, but the only Yakuza 3 is available right now. Yakuza 4, I think, is October, and then Yakuza 5 is, I think, February of 2020.
Here's a question.
But you pay $60 now. What's up, Square?
Sega? Here's a question.
Yeah. Huh?
I thought you called Kevin a Square.
Yeah, how much you think?
Huh?
How much you think?
Yeah.
It costs.
To do this?
To port?
No, Yakuza.
How much does...
How much is a package?
How much of a Yakuza?
The collection. How much does this game
It's $60 fucking.
Okay.
$20.
So here's my question.
Yeah.
Do you want to spend $60 and play Yakuza until you're a grandpa?
Yes. Yes.
That's what you're about to do.
Yeah, every Yakuza game is like 60 hours or like 100 hours. God. I have
so
reviewed.
So full of babies.
So what do you need them all at once for?
You don't. You really don't. By the time you finish Yakuza 3, if you started now and played a lot every day, you won't be done by the time Yakuza 4 comes out. So really, it was ingenious. Unless you're like that guy who's like, dude, I really need to play Yakuza 4 on PS4 in 60 FPS.
If you already beat Yakuza 3.
True, true. It's interesting. We'll see how it sells, but Yakuza is picking up some steam in the West.
Speaking of collections.
Yes.
There's a Mega Man Zero collection coming out soon.
Really?
That's not regular Mega Man. That's not Mega Man X.
Correct.
That's Mega Man Zero.
Correct.
Game Boy Advance games.
They're going to do a collection on like consoles?
On PS4. It's been announced.
Nice, dude.
We're really hoping we get it for Switch. I don't need to buy it. But if
you
it comes
will.
Out, I'm gonna buy it.
Look, the thing about Mega Man is... Mega Man is the best, and Mega Man collections are the best, and I, too, will buy them until the day that I die while I'm putting them in my backlog because I'm still playing Yakuza.
Yeah, I was just gonna say.
While I'm still playing Yakuza. There is one other thing that I wanted to discuss when we're talking about games that are coming out. Surprise announcements. This was not a surprise. People were kind of expecting this to happen, but a lot of people... especially some people in our community, were very pleased. Peachy keen, one could say, when they announced the release date of what game, Kevin? It starts with a fin and ends with a Fantasy 8.
Fantasy 8. Sorry, did I get that right?
Final Fantasy 8.
F8 comes out. F8. Final Fantasy 8. The one about the love. The one about the passion.
They're all about the love.
The one about
the... You're the best looking guy here.
The one about the anime... Yeah, if you've ever seen that meme where it's like, you're the best looking guy here, and then it just looks like an anime guy if his face was smashed with a pixelated Minecraft hammer, that's Final Fantasy VIII. And now you can get that scene, but not looking poop butts.
You like... Wait, do you like guns?
I'm okay with some guns.
Do you like swords?
I do like some swords,
Tyler, do you like guns?
In video games.
You know what's better than guns?
Gun for the Xbox
and
360.
Swords?
A gun lance.
A gun sword.
Why didn't I think of that?
Isn't the Lancer from Gears of War also technically a gun sword? Oh, it's like got a bayonet.
No, it's a chainsaw sword.
That's a medieval chainsaw automatic rifle.
Damn.
I'm just saying, like...
that's rude.
Revolver sword.
Let me ask you.
Can I get that in Final Fantasy VIII?
If I
hit... Yeah, dude.
I've not played it.
That's the main weapon.
Bumper.
That's the Buster Sword of Final Fantasy VIII.
When I do a hit, does it pull the trigger and do fire damage?
I don't remember.
It better fucking do it.
I don't remember.
We're talking about Final Fantasy VIII, of course, which is the classic RPG by Square Enix. Classic.
Here's a tip. Pull the trigger.
And a spear behind it.
Attaboy.
Question.
Answered.
Why the fuck didn't other turn-based RPGs do Legend of Dragoon-style timing?
Thank you very much.
That ruined RPGs for me.
Also, Wild Arms.
I don't know. I'm
Wild Arms?
I'm not the RPG guy.
Maybe.
That ruined RPGs for me.
I agree. Probably the best RPG of all time, turn-based. Like, That game is getting remastered.
Final Fantasy VIII. Sorry. Does it have good combat or bad combat? I don't understand.
It depends on who you ask.
Okay, to you, Kevin. Your opinion.
It's got Final Fantasy combat, which is to say...
Not the combat you were just previously complaining
about.
Yeah,
yeah. I'm not wild about it, but it's good.
I'm like the starry-eyed child who just found the video game arcade for the first time when it comes to RPGs, and the mechanics therein. I've played a Final Fantasy 15. I've gone on a Backstreet Boys road trip adventure, but I don't know all there is to know besides Kingdom Hearts.
Now, that's all it is.
I gotta be careful about how much shit I talk on Final Fantasy VIII, because a friend of the show... Kevin will come to my cube at work and complain to me.
He'll
about
kick
how
you in the
I
mouth.
Complained.
He'll gears.
Now I'm not. That's not to say, and I have told him this before. Full disclosure: I don't remember a whole lot about Final Fantasy VIII, having played it on my PS1. I'm actually really excited to get back into it. I want to give it a shot.
For some weird reason, it's I had this thing about Final Fantasy games where every time they were about to come out, I would be like, oh, this is going to be the Final Fantasy game I finally like.
This is going
to
be the Final Fantasy.
This is going to be the Final Fantasy that is my Final Fantasy. Final Fantasy 13 was the last one that did that to me. I bought it day one. I was like, God damn it, this is not what I need.
Not a fan of Lightning?
No.
Junction. That's what it is.
A Junction is
Junction,
a game.
Junction, Junction?
The Junctioning system is like the Materia system in this game. Mm.
That is what we... Okay, so Final Fantasy VIII. I, for some reason, I'm like, this is fantasy. It's just the hype, guys. I get into the hype. I know the K-Trask likes the game. Maybe I'll play it. We can do a deep dive on it, too, for some donation dollars. We'll talk about that later.
The fact is, it's $20.
It is a cheap game,
too. Even if it's not something you're crazy about, $20 for a 60-hour JRPG, when, like, in the heyday of JRPGs, like PS1 JRPGs.
It's a good JRPG.
It's a damn good deal, dude.
Let me just get the full sentence out. Final Fantasy VIII Remaster will be coming out on Xbox One, PS4, Nintendo Switch, right,
yes,
boys?
Yes.
For $20 on September 8th. I just want to make sure I got that announced on the show. We might be playing it and doing some sort of deep dive on it, because as we said, we got some friends of the show who really like the game and would like to hear some stuff about it. We'll discuss how you, the listener at home, can check out your very own favorite deep dive podcast episode from us. Tyler, yes.
Are you ready for some bad news?
Sure, yeah.
Here's some real bad news.
Is it the one I'm going to say?
I don't know. What are you going to say?
I was going to do the last news piece we have on here.
No.
Okay, what's your bad news?
Final Fantasy VIII will only be available for digital.
Yeah, you can't get a physical. Well, I thought there wasn't Limited Run doing something. Maybe?
Yeah, Limited Run might. Yeah. Limited Run always does.
But Limited Run did Wily Wars. Did you see that?
No, I did not. This will be Wily Wars, Mega Man, Limited Run. Buy it now. I don't even know if it's available.
It's $300. Don't
buy it now. Buy it now, Kevin. Buy it now, Tyler. Kevin, you give me your copy. Tyler, you give me your copy. I'll have two. I'll give one to Tyler as a gift. It all works out.
And then you give me Tyler's copy, right?
No. Oh. Stop. No. You don't get any of this. You weren't included. You're just paying for it.
Oh.
Let's talk about this last thing and then the sad news. I just want to make sure I'm getting everything from Gamescom. PUBG. We don't talk about PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds here much anymore because we don't really play it. But I do like crossplay. And at the Inside Xbox, they announced that we will be getting PS4 and Xbox One crossplay on PUBG by the end of the year, I think they said. I just love to see crossplay. More crossplay, more crossplay. I've been loving playing Rocket League crossplay with my friends. We all like crossplay here, right, boys?
Yep. Yeah, boy.
Yes. What have I played crossplay? Dauntless, that's about it.
Dauntless was an awesome thing to crossplay. And you could even see, like, oh, this guy's on PC, this guy's on PS4, and we're all killing the monster together. I told y'all. It's the year. We got to come together, gaming, bringing the communities together. We're crossing those gaps, bringing the PS4 fanboys
Stronger
and the Xbox boys together
than we ever were apart.
Speaking of things that are now apart.
Gamers rise up.
Gamers are rising down. Well, trying to choose my words carefully here. The game deliverers, the game sellers are being driven apart
the
here.
The place that you might make a stop to get games.
Thanks, Kevin. We're talking about GameStop. You guys know GameStop. Pretty soon. In like 10 years. In 10 years, do you think we're going to have to explain to people what GameStop was? Like we do Blockbuster?
Like Blockbuster? Yeah, dude.
Do you think that's going to happen, Tyler? Official GameStop or SGC prediction on GameStop stock futures?
10 years?
Well, 10, okay. 10, that's the thing, 10, yes.
In 10 years.
10 years.
Yes, we're talking about 2029.
I'd put money on
10
that.
10 years, will be GameStop will be the new EB Games. Or FYE.
Okay, so that's kind of what I think this is going to... Basically, for those who don't know, GameStop, the retail store where you go and get games, I mean, they're still that big. They've not been doing so good. Stock price is going down. They're trying to sell the business. They departed from ThinkGeek, which was one of their merchandising things.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff. And then that's most recently, GameStop has been pushing towards this rebranding, and where they're trying to turn stores into... like those, you know, those local online cafes or those LAN gaming buildings that were in the early 2000s where you could go and play. They're trying to do that for GameStop. They're trying to turn these local stores into like places where retro gaming tournaments can happen and other. They're trying to alter their brand to become more retro and survive in the ever coming digital future. The question of if that works or not, we'll come to see. But the point being, the reason we're bringing it up now is the current corporations or the people who work for the company and the current policies they have are built around the idea of being a retailer, not this brand new kind of brand. And so when they're pushing towards this brand new brand and doing this overhaul of GameStop as a company, that means firing a lot of people. Tyler is going into the zen state because we're talking about industry, and I think he's about to die.
No, it's okay. It's something else.
Tyler.
I think he's going to fart.
GameStop.
Thank you.
GameStop, in their effort to rebrand, just recently laid off 120 different corporate employees. They're dismantling the thing. They're trying different. But what is important about this is that included a large, large number of Game Informer staff. Y'all know Game Informer?
Yep.
I like that magazine.
Yeah, that magazine that's been around for, you know, 10 plus years, and you get it with the GameStop Power Card or whatever, Edge Card
It's free now, basically. Well, it's not free.
We get them to the house all the time because, I don't know, they just appear. It's a lot of them overnight. This is a magazine, one of, I think, the only really existing and, quote-unquote, successful magazines that cover video games that's still in circulation, just overnight. Lost a bunch of its editorial staff. They just woke up to, I have no job. So it's sad to see. I hate to sandbag the news episode or the news segment here, but seriously, just like hopes you guys get some jobs and stuff. It really sucks. Game Informer was always, I think, the best part of GameStop as a corporate entity. Like, they controlled a lot of things and did a lot of bad things, GameStop. But I think Game Informer, which, if you don't know by now and by context, was owned by GameStop. They were always good. Good information, good content, good articles, good editorial team. So it's sad to see them go. Any thoughts on Game Informer, guys? Do you think it's going to be the end of the era?
I was going to say something about GameStop.
You okay?
That's going to be the beginning of the end, I feel.
This is the point in time where we neglect to make the obvious joke about how GameStop stock is actually only worth $3.40.
Is that a true number?
No.
But for real.
When you try to trade it.
Oh, the tradage. I see what you did there. But to that fact, though, no, I don't think their stock is doing very well. It continues to plummet. Let's move on.
Do you want an update on that? I can get one.
Yeah, if you don't mind, check that out because we're talking about games here. We've moved away. Hokies. He tries to type in GameStop stocks and it's like hoagies.
Kevin.
Yeah?
It's $3.70
right now. Fucking way. I did it again, y'all.
That's amazing.
My predictive
That's
analysis.
Unreasonably close.
Ooh. Kevin is always...
Within 10%.
Dude.
Kevin is always predicting things just a little off. It's amazing.
I have an approximate prediction ability.
Yeah, it's really weird. So if you trade in your GameStop...
intuition.
Trade in your GameStop stock, they'll give you $370. But you swear to God you paid $64 10 years ago. It's funny. How much is it down? It's down 3.14%.
I think the problem is that they don't sell Fortnite.
Yeah, if they sell Fortnite, then...
I need to buy Fortnite for my son.
Guys, it's 33 minutes, and we're literally talking about stocks. We need to move
stonks.
To things.
Adults.
Stonks. Let's move on to games. Speaking of stonks, Life is Strange 2, Episode 4. You guys remember that? It's about the Diaz brothers. It's in the beginning of... Small spoilers
Wasn't
for
there
Life.
A bathroom in that, too?
Are they twins?
Yes. No. One
is this the Sweet Life?
One is older, one is younger.
Wrong show, sorry.
No. Life is Strange 2, Episode 4 is the fourth episode of Life is Strange 2, the episodic game series that follows...
Rubber Band Man.
Close. It follows the Diaz brothers, two teenage boys who are on the run, and they live on the West Coast because their dad was killed by a cop in a misunderstanding. Yes, Tyler. Yeah.
What's the superhero name that he takes on?
Captain Spirit. Rubber Band Man. Rubber Man. Oh my God, he does have kind of like rubber bands on his face. He has like a big. We're talking about Adventures of Captain Spirit, which was the free downloadable episode that tied into Life is Strange 2.
So this is weird because I haven't played any of this. I don't have never seen a screen for it. What I came away with was this kid's superpower is Rubber Band Man.
No, it's just a character who's like tetrary to like the third episode.
Dude, yeah,
Life is Strange.
Doesn't have
2.
A power.
Tyler Strange 2.
Tyler Strange 2.
Accurate.
Before the storm. Life is Strange 2, it continues, at this point, really, in the episode, talking about anything is kind of big spoilers for Life is Strange 2, but I just wanted to bring up that it seems like they are going, this is the same thing I noticed from the Telltale games towards the end there, is that they got more cinematic, there was less puzzles, there was less exploration, the collectibles became very easy to find.
They put, like, shinies on them?
Well, not that they put shinies on them, but instead of, like, I need to walk over into this corner of the explorable area, it's like, oh, the item is on the ground in this very, very linear path that I'm, you know, controlling my character for 40 seconds. Most of the other time, I am doing a dialogue section or something like that. It's just the point is that like Telltale games, the episodic adventure point and click games, Life is Strange 2, I can see that they are probably not going to do a Life is Strange 3. They're trying to maintain the quality, but there's not a lot of gameplay in it. I'm just saying it's starting to dip. I haven't played a lot of the episode yet. I just started it last night. I assume it's going to be like an hour and a half long, but I was hoping maybe that Life is Strange 2 would have this upturn. I don't know if you guys remember, but I discussed early on when I was first playing Life is Strange 2 that it was like it was trying to make like odd political statements without like really
I remember you being kind of lukewarm on it.
Yeah, and then there was I just played a scene last night in the newest episode which is essentially the same kind of weird political statement but with more added racism, and it's still there's still like no narrative reason for it, and I don't know, it's just the story isn't sticking to me. I'm interested because like Life is Strange as a franchise, Life is Strange 2 is very beautiful. A lot of cool nature, right? But I don't know.
Love nature, man.
Life is Strange 2 is available on Xbox Game Pass, so if you're already subscribing to that, I would say it's worth it for like the achievements, and it's a decent story, but as a follow-up to Life is Strange 1, which was one of the most surprising and weirdly like sci-fi, but also crime mystery adventures, this is just kind of, it's like a road trip that doesn't have any fun stuff along the way. Like, it's, you know, like,
oh, let's, like Final Fantasy 15?
Stop. Final Fantasy 15, you're along the way is the NSYNC boys. Don't make fun of me doing my Italian. Looky here, hey. Butto. Hey, I'm talking to you here.
I'm talking to you.
Life is Strange 2 Episode 4, I just want to say, is a little lukewarm. Like, it was a perfect, perfect way to say it. Are you
like
thinking
the temperature of the inside of a Tauntaun?
That was a Star Wars. Did you see that fucking Rey has the goddamn T9 flip
foldable
phone?
Hell yeah, dude.
Yeah, dude.
She's got the razor.
Shouts out to Dan, friend of the show, Dan. He called that the T9 razor flip phone. You see that? Rey's got,
she's got a foldable lightsaber.
Guys, check out that new trailer for Star Wars Episode 9, The Rise of Luke Skywalker's. Excellent. Lukewarm, the inside of a Tauntaun. I should smack you on air. Violence on. No, I love that joke.
Matt, stop hitting me.
Do you think you're going to play Life is Strange 2? Kevin.
No.
Tyler.
No.
Well, there you go. You probably won't hear about it on Game of the Year 2019 unless there's some crazy, crazy ending to it. Kevin.
That is me.
Crash Team Racing.
Yeah, dude.
Did you play any of this?
No. CTR.
I remember you.
I mean, back in the day, yeah.
Yes. Oh, yeah, same.
So, I played this disc till it was, like, unplayable.
What? Crash Team Racing Nitro Refueled is of course, the remake of Crash Team Racing on the PlayStation 1. It's like Mario Kart, but faster. It's like, I mean, there's an adventure mode. Something
it's furrier.
Very much more fur. A lot of marsupials. See?
Yeah.
I know what a bandicoot is, you fuck. Tyler.
No one was challenging your bandicoot.
Yeah, every time someone says, well, you know, no.
Tyler Tasman and Tiger.
Yo, Taz is that guy. 100%
there
that
is a
dude.
Baby tiger in CTR, though.
Yes, there is. CTR, of course, no, I mean, really, it is like
I
Mario.
That's the character I played as.
It is Mario Kart.
Well, polar bear, too.
But with,
how dare me.
Sorry, man.
There's a polar bear. Mario Kart, but also there's Crash Bandicoot, guys. It's very fast. It's kind of like they prioritize drifting, something that I saw in Sonic Team Racing as well,
yeah,
or Team Sonic Racing.
What they do in Mario Kart.
But in Mario Kart, it's not as, like, you don't have to drift to, like, I'm saying it's all about that you could do tricks and stuff in Crash Team Racing. Oh. The whole point of Crash Team Racing, it seems, is like they just took everything from the original, expounded upon it. The one thing I noticed is that, and I'm not sure if I like this, overall, Crash Team Racing, if you like racing games, is a good time. But the one thing I wanted to point out about it, you guys know the battle passes. You guys know battle passes and how those work. You know, you do a thing, you earn XP, you unlock cosmetics.
Don't tell me.
Crash Team Racing opens up with the objective, the overall objective that you gotta fill your nitro bar. And as you get finish races and place and do these different challenges and earn these gems, you get more experience. And at each different tier, you unlock cosmetics, which I don't believe was something in the original Crash Team.
No, Racing. No.
So how do we feel about the... How do you guys feel about the progression system? I don't want to dog the progression system of a battle pass.
Microtransactions back when CTR but was originally a thing.
It's not a microtransaction. It's in the game. It's you don't pay for it. It's a feature in the game. It's
EA
the,
Sports.
It's yes, EA Sports in the game. It's not a battle pass for Crash Team Racing where you pay another $10 and unlock cosmetics.
All right.
It's the overall progression.
Okay.
How do you think? Do you think that that kind of progression works out where you're, you know, tiered based? For yes. cosmetics, if that's the main focus.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. It's the old Call of Duty method.
Correct. But just
and I'm into that.
In a very it was very Dude, much looked like a Fortnite or a Rocket League pass.
Skinner box, man. Just give me that. Just inject that direct, that instant gratification right into my butt, dude.
It's actually not that instant though. You had to do quite a few XP.
I know,
things.
But like just give it to me.
Tyler. Tyler.
Yeah.
Do you think the loot box not the loot would you rather have this kind of progression or something like randomized loot boxes from a pool of like, oh, you have 60 items and there's going to be no duplicates.
Why can't we just unlock characters and be done with it?
That okay, and that's the other way. You do it like Super Smash Brothers style, where it's like, oh, you unlock a new character
kinda,
for beating this race, or yeah, no.
I kind of miss the old trend of like making it secret, you know, like how to unlock a character.
I also agree.
Yeah, yeah, you have to go to cheatcc.com and get a virus.
The Super Smash Brothers Ultimate
Cheat Planet.
Cheat Planet.
Dude. Yo.
Game Facts and just
we should
you know,
do a
talk
whole
to people
we should,
and make friends.
We should definitely do a whole episode, a deep dive on cheat codes and our favorite cheat codes. Maybe that's a
oh,
thing.
Oh man, Rosebud.
So we just kinda don't stop. Don't just, start just, don't just start giving out the content for that episode on this episode. Tyler, okay. What were you saying?
It kinda ends with the Konami code.
Yeah, correct. But we'll get there. We'll have more to discuss about upcoming deep dives and shit as you guys
What, Kevin?
Just throw it out there. The first thing that comes up when you type Cheat Planet into Google is, what happened to Cheat Planet?
What is Cheat? Where's Nintendo Power at? I had another game on here, but I've been talking for a while. I just want to end this game section before we jump into the next section.
Wait, was this just stuff you played?
Yeah, well, I asked you guys before the show, you guys want me to put anything you guys played? We have a section for you. That is entirely about all the mobile games you're playing.
This is why I answered no to that question.
So we will have a section wherein Tyler talks a lot, but also we played some of those mobile games too. But this is a game specifically that I wanted to discuss on the show with you, Tyler, because I wasn't sure if you had played it. Kevin, you probably won't be interested, so feel free to you know Google your hoagies or whatever the fuck you do.
Rude.
Yeah. Tyler, have you ever heard of a game called Disneyland Adventures?
Yeah, I downloaded it.
Okay, so you did.
I did, yeah. Did I play it? That's the other question. No.
This, I feel like this is an excellent game for you and your loved one to play together. Because there's two games that are like Disney adventures. There was the Disney Pixar Rush, and then there's okay. Disneyland Adventures. And what Disneyland Adventures is you get to pick a little boy or girl. And, you know, make their hair whatever color, with style... and make different color t-shirt, and then you just drop that child without a parent into Disneyland, and you run around doing side quests for Mickey Mouse costume people, and it's like, gotta run to Goofy and get his autograph, or I gotta high-five fucking Ariel over in this park or something.
Do you have to go wait in line?
No, but you like ride the Pirates of the Caribbean ride, and it's a small world and stuff, and there's like mini games in it, but it really is an interactive theme, or Disneyland, circa, what was 2015, 2014?
2011
when that game came out?
Yeah.
How do you know that shit?
I looked it up.
It was, okay, Disneyland
I'm
Adventures.
Brilliant. I looked it up, Matt.
Dude, I was always fascinated by games like this, because there was a game called, I think, Universal Studios something for the GameCube, which was kind of the same idea. You walked around the Universal Studios lot, or the Universal Studios theme park, and went on the rides. Is this something, Tyler, for you, that you would enjoy and think would be fun? Like, oh, I'm seeing a virtual recreation of Main Street USA in Fantasyland, or are you just like, fuck this.
I don't care.
Well, see, it's...
There's
it's,
no...
You get to seem goofy.
There's no skill tree.
What if... Yeah. What if you could, like...
Hey, if you want to see Goofy, you just gotta look in the mirror.
The thing is there's a... It has... Jesus Christ. It has a lot. It has a lot of those progression elements where it's like, oh, here's... You got an autograph book, so you have to get all the autographs of the Disney princesses. You gotta high-five all the original Disney cartoon characters. You gotta go on It's a Small World and I don't ride the teacups or some shit. Do you think this game is trash, Tyler? Without playing it.
Trash?
Utter flaming trash.
Absolutely not. No, it has its place. It has everything that some child needs because their grandfather has an Xbox 360 from 30 years ago.
Hey, you want to see what Disneyland was like when I was in my 20s?
Exactly.
That is actually, you know what, Buck? You guys should do more of those. You know, I would do, it's like Roller Coaster Tycoon, except for you already made the park. And it's a park that exists in real life, and now it's captured in a time capsule virtual version. I like that idea.
They should off Mr. Bone's Wild Ride.
You should take a park. If you're interested in playing Disneyland Adventures, you can get on Xbox Game Pass, at least while this episode, currently in this episode as we're recording. It's like August of 2019. Let's move on to this next segment. This is a new segment. This is a segment that was pushed forward. It's not a reoccurring segment, but this is a new segment that is put forward to us. It's not on your list there, Tyler. Prepare to be surprised.
Well,
this was turn this off. Put forth by Donator. Mike C. Mike C. And you two, we will discuss this towards the end of the episode, but you two, if you want to hear us do deep dive on your favorite game or something like that, we do take donations at supergamesite64.com/donate. We'll discuss the various tiers of donation, so to speak. But if you want to put something wacky and fun and wild on the show like this, maybe tip your hat, you know, throw us a few coins. Guys!
Yeah, those arcade machines don't pay for themselves.
The gumballs I buy on a daily basis aren't going to my mouth for free. Mike C. poses this one question. Where's Waldo?
On what page?
You know where's
Waldo. Waldo wears stripes because he doesn't want to be spotted.
You know where's... God damn.
He's primed and ready to go.
You know where's Waldo. You know where's Waldo, right?
Yeah, I know where's Waldo. You know where's Waldo?
Actually, where's Waldo? Waldo?
Hanging out with Carmen Sandiego.
No, I'm not asking the question, where is Waldo? I'm saying you guys know the property, where's Waldo?
Yes, about it.
Originally known as Where's Wally in the UK when it was originally created. Fun fact.
Walder?
Wait, no, where's Wally?
Wally.
Because where's Wally?
Lord twins? Frey of the Twins.
Simple question posed by donator Mike C.
Yes, what about it?
Why is Waldo hiding?
Why is he hiding?
Where is Waldo? But why is Waldo hiding?
Well, so
and why the fuck is he smiling as he peeks?
He's also changed his name from Wally to Waldo. I can only imagine he's either in
exactly.
Witness Protection.
Believe it or not, I actually did some research into this.
Can I posit my suggestions?
Yeah, no,
first?
Go. Yeah, sure.
Before?
Yeah,
but why Waldo is actually close?
No amount of is Tyler primes himself. No amount of Google searching is going to find you
right,
any
so
sort of answer
think
that
about
would glean.
It this way. Waldo yes. also has a significant other, presumably maybe a sister named Walda.
Yes,
who also wears red stripes. He also has a dog. I seem to remember the dog has glasses. Don't know why.
He has a Wario-esque counterpart.
Yeah,
named like Walder, I think.
Ooh.
Yep, he wears black and yellow. He also has a wife.
But why is he... What? Yeah, with the...
Walda. Wenda.
Wenda.
Come on, they could have gone with
Walda. Okay, so we have this cast of characters, this mythos, this world building, but why the fuck is Waldo in... Why is he hiding?
Witness protection.
What? Witness protection? For what crime?
Well, so he witnessed a murder. And it got on his clothes, and that's why they're striped with red.
Oh, he just tried to out it, but he only had, like, you know, a few lines of out, and
so
that's
here's,
all he
here's
get.
The thing. He was, like, standing under... He was in a factory, and the murder occurred above him, and like, the blood fell through the grates, and that's why it's, like, perfectly striped on his white clothing.
Let me dig a little bit deeper. We ask, where's Waldo? We ask, why is Waldo?
Or maybe he's painting a fence.
And then just, like, jumped at it sideways. Yeah. And into the... We ask, why is Waldo? We ask, where is Waldo?
But nobody...
We don't... I'm gonna fucking hit you. We never ask who is Waldo.
Oh, no, that's not what I was gonna say.
But that's what I was gonna say. What are you gonna say?
I was gonna say nobody ever asks how is Waldo.
He looks happy. Sometimes he's like in the middle of a barren desert.
He's kind of got the Mona Lisa smile. You know, the one that's like enigmatic and it's like, are you smiling?
Like maybe it's stuck there.
Maybe you got gas.
Is Waldo maybe just trying to make the best of a bad situation and every situation he finds himself in is a bad situation?
Who knows to Waldo?
Is Waldo the original photobomber? Is Waldo original photobomber? Someone's like taking a picture of all these fucking people, and they're just like, look at this jackass on a fucking striped shirt waving directly at the camera.
What if Waldo is like an elite assassin?
Damn. So this is the kind of things we want to discuss. I just want to bring it back, because Where's Waldo is if you don't know, it's a collection of children's books where there's a bunch of things in the picture, and you got to find Waldo, a little man with a red and white striped shirt, and he's hiding amongst the people. It's a small known fact. Maybe not small known fact, but if you're a newer gamer, or maybe you don't have some classic experience, Bethesda. You guys remember Bethesda? They made Fallout 76 and Fallout 3 and, you know, other games.
Elder Fallout
Scrolls.
4.
Yeah, Elder Scrolls Skyrim. They also made Where's Waldo on the NES? Wherein Waldo goes to the fucking moon. And you know what I remember about Where's Waldo on the NES more than anything? There is a level where Waldo is in a cave in the dark. Let me tell you what is not a fun Where's Waldo picture. An entirely black screen where just all of a sudden every now and again Waldo pops up for a second and then he's gone. So,
and but, every time he pops up, he's just a little bit closer.
He starts at the back and then like all of a sudden.
The last thing you see is his spectacles.
When is Waldo?
Ooh.
I actually have an answer for that
one. I think the biggest question that scientists have 1987. Nowadays,
that was when Waldo was birthed.
What is Waldo?
I do want to say what is Waldo is a very good question, but the last thing I want to say is when they were creating Waldo as a character, no one actually remembers who had the original idea for Waldo. Waldo, or in the UK as known as Wally, is the kind of person, you know, a goofball, a kind of wild, goofy guy, and they're like, oh, Wally, you know, but no one ever remembers who came up with Waldo. So maybe the question,
Waldo's always been there.
That the question is, did we find Waldo? Or did Waldo find us? Let's move on.
It wasn't about the Waldos that we found.
Tyler, remember earlier you were like, what about these other games?
Yeah, I got one. Ready? Okay. I played Moonlighter.
Moonlighter. Okay, let's go back.
I beat a dungeon.
Moonlighter.
Dude, yes.
For those who don't know the Moonlighter game, can you explain very briefly what it is?
You're a shopkeeper, and then there's roguelike dungeons.
You do both of these things.
Yep.
You go in the dungeons you kill, you also sell the things you get.
Yep.
What did you like the most out of it? The gameplay, the music, the graphics? Did you find anything more impressive than one?
Nope. It's about a 7.5.
But, okay, so that's kind of where I sat with Moonlighter. This is available. What did you play on, Tyler?
Switch.
Also available on Xbox Game Pass. I mean, it's on Xbox One, PS4, and Switch, but I think you can get it on Game Pass as well.
It's also on PC.
Was it new on Switch recently?
No, I bought it like a while back when it was on sale, and I regret that now. But hey, whatever. It's fun.
So you put, how long did you say you would put into it? You had put
6 hours tops.
6 hours. You probably did 3-4 more. Oh, I stopped playing Moonlighter when they started introducing this, like, hey, you can build up the city and have other competitors come in and more of the town building aspect. I did like the dungeon building aspect. Where did you fall off?
It's not that I fell off. It's just that I've played for like 2 days since Friday.
Oh, burned out?
No, I haven't had the time, first off. And second, it's not first thing on my mind. It's not Slay the Spire. I just want to play Slay the Spire.
Slay the Spire is also an Xbox Game Pass. I've been very excited for Slay the Spire. Kevin, Moonlighter.
Dude, good game.
It's good.
He's a fan of the Moonlighter. Tyler says 7.5. I feel like Kevin would be a little bit higher there.
I'd say it's an 8.5 or a 9.
Maybe it's just not hitting that one spot for me. Maybe.
Well, here's a question.
There's too much anxiety.
There's a lot going on.
You upgraded the town and stuff?
Yeah, I upgraded my shop once. I bought the what's this dude? I bought the other.
That's
lady,
exactly where I fell off, like right around there.
And then I was about to buy the other guy, and instead I upgraded my armor instead. And then I beat the first dungeon. It was great.
The economy's a little rough in that game.
I don't know how I feel about that.
No, I mean, like, it's hard. It's kind of hard to get gold.
Well, that's the thing is,
I've noticed that.
The basic loop of Moonlighter is what, Tyler? You, night falls and you...
You go into the dungeon.
Yeah.
And then you collect your loots.
Yeah.
You come back, hopefully safe and sound. And then you sell your loots on the table of your shop.
But you, Moonlighter, you pick the price.
You and pick the price.
The it's way you
dis- the worst part.
The way you discern whether or not it's the right price or if you're underselling or overselling is based purely off of like, oh, this person bought it or this person didn't buy it, and whether or not they had like a happy emote or a sad emote.
Or worse, the one with the coins in the eyes.
And you're
like, oh, great, I way undercharged for that thing.
And so in that way, I feel like a lot of the economy literally is guessing and guesswork and it changes. But I feel like a lot of the stuff was very expensive too when you're trying to upgrade stuff.
So here's the thing. You have this little ledger where it keeps track of all of the pieces, parts that you can collect, and it puts, like, lines, roughly, in between where you've been. price-wise. So, for the first dungeon, the Golem dungeon,
yes.
There's the one gold line at the very bottom, there's a 250 gold line somewhere in the middle, and at the very top is 3,000 gold.
That's a lot of gold.
So everything under the 3,000 gold, which is everything, is your maximum price. So everything you get, you don't want a price for more than 3,000 out of the first dungeon. So for the one thing that you can get, I priced it for 3,000. It was too expensive and people were pissed at me for it.
It seems like they everything really is way, way too expensive in the game. And it feels like every step of the, even when you find like something that might be, oh, I can sell this at a moderate price consistently, as soon as you think that's, you have some sort of plan there, it's like, no one wants to buy that shit anymore.
Right.
I'll buy it at a high price.
Oh, because a dude came in with the mustache, the curly mustache and the top hat?
What do you sell it?
That's a thing. There's a mechanic where a rich dude comes in and he buys a thing.
Besides Moonlighter, was there anything else console-wise you're playing before we hop into Tyler's Mobile Corner?
Corner.
I played like two rounds of Killer Instinct.
Killer Instinct's fun. A fun time. You punch people in the face, there's a skeleton guy.
I'm really bad at it. It's fun.
Did you play like OG Killer Instinct or Xbox One Killer Instinct?
Xbox One.
Nice, dude. It's flashy, it's got a lot of gram fixed, it's a good time.
Also, you gotta play Thunder because he's the best character.
It's good. It's on Game Pass, I think like the third season or something.
The season pass. I think you get the first two.
Can you? Oh, not the one with Rash from Battletoads.
Correct.
Or whatever.
You have to buy that still. It's still $20.
I want to play as him. But let's move on to these mobile games. I want to start off with this one, Tyler. You're going to do a little bit more talking because it's much anticipated. Everyone's been hyped. Everyone's been getting excited for it. Gears Pop.
All right.
Tell me about Gears Pop.
Gears Pop ain't bad. Gears Pop.
Whoa!
Is...
That's high praise.
From me. Yeah, I'm still playing it. How about that?
Tyler said that shit ain't bad and it's Gears Pop, like the Funko Pop.
All right. So if you overlook the fact that it's chibi garbage and you...
Chibi. I just want to make sure. Not chibi.
Chibi, yes. Chibi. C-H-I-B-I. Chibi.
Cutesy wootsy.
Big head, little eyes.
Yes. Funko Pops.
It is a Clash Royale.
Nice.
Clone.
Nice.
Sort of. Nice. So there are bunkers. There's cover that your dudes run from. There's like four in between, and then there's towers.
Turn-based then?
No. Real time.
Okay.
And
you like send out your troops and they just kind of walk. Okay, I know. Yeah.
There are a lot of troops. And all your favorites from Marcus Fenix and Coltrane.
You get Baird in there?
Don't know.
Dom Santiago?
Yep.
Can you play as...
JD?
Nice, JD. Get Marcus or Carmine? Any of the Carmines?
Yeah, one of them. I got one of them. Nice. The dude with the shotgun.
Nice, dude. Carmine.
Carmine's excellent, really.
Can you... All right, so here's
and
the
then,
question.
And then yes. You can play as the Locusts?
Yes, the Locusts.
Oh, wow.
Unless it's Gears 4, then it's the Swarm.
Also in there.
Okay, so
General
both.
Ram is your trainer.
He was the final boss in the first game.
Gotcha.
He's the big bad.
I've never played Gears for those at home.
It's a fun time. Gears 5 coming soon. Literally in like a week.
So, in this game, you'll play PvP. You collect your bunkers to help you spawn your units farther out onto the field. And your power collects over time, and you have cards that you play and you level up. It's like Clash Royale in that way.
So it's only PvP? There is no like PvE or adventure mode aspect?
No. The second mode is the battle scenarios. It's like tutorials, but you get...
Challenge puzzle.
Yeah, it's like a puzzle. You get one or two, maybe three cards, and you
have to
win.
I like that shit.
That's cool. Last option is the horde mode.
Nice, you're talking about
this. Of course, they're going to put a horde mode into Gears.
I was surprised, honestly.
I'm very pleased with it. It's kind of tough. You play co-op. It's a two-player mode that you go into your little guild thing.
What, do you have to matchmake, or is it only guild? Okay, cool.
It's guild only, but you got to matchmake.
Okay.
And you are placed in a scenario, whether it's one, two, three, maybe four waves, where you have to defeat the enemy at the opposing side. Always NPC, for now, as far as I know.
Is there a big boss at the end? Or is it bosses like
it's
bosses?
Usually General Ram.
Nice, dude. Well, Horde.
It's actually pretty cool.
The Horde, as it went on in the Gears of War title or the numbered series, they started introducing like these big boss waves and stuff. Horde has really become like to zombies, or Horde is to Gears what Zombies is to Call of Duty. It's just that other mode that a lot of people play but isn't the focus, but I'm glad to see it come over. Here's the main question I had for it is, because it's Gears, which is well known for being incredibly brutally violent and yep. very bloody, but it's also Funko Pop, which is very cutesy chibi, as you said. What's the half and half? Like, is it have chainsaw executions? Is yep. there any blood?
Nope.
But oh, do they like boop, pop off in half or something?
Yep. Exactly.
Can you curb stomp and like flatten somebody's
head? No. As far as I know, no.
I want to curb stomp a bobblehead.
When you win, I haven't found anyone that does the chainsaw in a match. Ah. But when you win, your little character, your little avatar dude or lady dude, nice. Runs out with their saw in hand and like that you go into a clash.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And then the person who lost loses their head.
Holy fuck, dude.
Like, it just pops right off.
Remember when we were talking about E3 2018, I think it was, when they first announced this?
Gears pop!
And we're like,
this is so stupid.
We're like, ha 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 ha, jerk off motion, ha 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 ha.
Yeah.
And turns out it's actually pretty good.
It's okay.
Okay, Tyler. So, yeah. Tyler, you say it's okay. Do you think this has any legs beyond a month? Do you think people actually play it in a few months? Or is it just cool for a few weeks, you know, before you're like, ah, oh, this looks more interesting?
I see this dying in maybe a week.
For you, or do you think overall? Do you think there's...
For me.
Do you think the PvP has any, like, legs as a community? Is there, like, any progression or anything that, like, oh, this will keep me coming back tomorrow? Or is it just play until you're bored?
Well, yeah, you got your bounties, your daily bounties that refresh. But, okay. Makes like, sense. Whatever.
Do you have, like, a player profile level ranking?
Exactly, yes.
Okay.
And you got your, I think you collect gears, and that's your score.
How bad are the microtransactions?
Let's see. I think the first one was $4, and you get 20 epic cards, which is, like, I don't know.
Decent?
Bad.
All right, so maybe
gears... It's expensive.
But is it, it's obviously played or pay to win?
You can pay to win. It does not really help you.
Which is, well, but if you can pay to win, then it means the legs, they ain't going to be that long.
So here's the thing. The matchmaking is actually pretty even. So it's not just based on your gear score is what I'm going to call it.
The Destiny 2 gear score.
It's also based on the total level of your cards. And then it doesn't really... Well, yeah. Your win streak is also incorporated. So
the KD kill death ratio.
It's
how's that ladder?
The ladder sucks.
Tyler's top 10.
Ladder he's sucks.
I am. I can't help myself.
Tyler's
I have
really
to be
good.
The best.
Tyler's probably top 5 in the world right now.
I will lose to anyone, but right now I'm top 5 in the
world. How many people do you think are playing? 8?
8 million.
A whopping five. And I'm number 4. Unless you have anything else to say about Gears, we're going over an hour. I want to get this tight. We've got to keep it moving. And I do want to hear something from Kevin, too. Is there anything else you want to say about Gears Pop before we close it out?
No.
Let's move on to this next one, which is something we talked about. Yep.
One.
There's still a little pop in the Gears for you.
Thing.
Well. It's, yeah.
500,000 downloads right now. It's number 1. Top 3.
So at least people are checking it out. If you want to get in the Gears Pop conversation, do it now. Get on your phone, Android, iOS, download the Gears. Marcus Fenix, he's there. Dragalia Lost is the next game I want to talk about mobily.
Yeah.
It's a game we've been talking about throughout the year. Tyler, Kevin, they both love it. I can't even play it on my phone. I don't have enough space. But I've seen it, played diddle with it. It looks fun. Why is it on this list now? In the year of 2019, August, do we get a new patch? Do we get an update, boys? Tell me all about it.
Honeymoon is over.
Honeymoon is over.
Is honeymoon like the a name an event? Or nope. Like literally just saying...
Well, there was one.
The honeymoon period for Dragalia Lost is over.
Now you're in the deep throes of real marriage.
We're in the deep throes of the...
Is this a sad Dragalia Lost segment?
This is a sad Dragalia Lost segment.
Okay, so what's... Give me in brief... The top 3 sad things about Dragalia Lost in right now.
Well, it was...
Loose format,
it was
boys.
A contender. It was a contender to unseat Unison League as my longest played daily mobile game.
You could have been the one, Dragalia.
Almost.
You had it going for you.
You threw it out. It's like you played yourself.
2 months ago, you threw it out.
I played it for a full year.
Yeah, I remember...
Because it was...
I mean, 6 months.
All I remember is that Kevin mentioned that we're coming up on the year anniversary. Maybe it was Utah. You guys were all saying, like, maybe
they're
going to do something for this year anniversary, or there's going to be a big change.
Yep.
Tell me, boys, how this game has let you down. Well, but before we say that, just as a feeler into the audience, for those who maybe are new to the show and don't know what we've said about it so far, is Dragalia Lost, if it's a game you haven't played or downloaded yet, is it still, like, fun?
In fact, new players coming to it would probably still get a lot out of it, if not more than we did.
But what we're discussing is purely, like, the experience of playing it for dozens of hours in the far-end game, correct?
Yes. If I may.
You also may. Yeah,
I am forever. Almost done with it.
Oh. And that's a gacha game, isn't it?
Yeah, I didn't know you could finish a gacha game.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, dude. And I don't know. Fuck. Well,
like there's one thing, like, you work up to the end game content, but then there's the end game content.
But you seem at least compelled to finish.
I'm almost done with it.
So it's good, but it's not. It's games as a live service. It's just not pushing through. What's the problem here, boys? Is it the gameplay? Is it repeating events? Is it just lack of developmental updates? What do we
mentioned
got?
It.
Honestly, the primary issue that I'm having right now is that the events are either reskinned or just reused completely.
Tyler's problem is that he's beaten the whole goddamn thing. He's over it. Kevin, are you anywhere close to
Tyler's?
They
legitimately recently just reused an event and changed it from a Valentine's event to a summer event. And they barely changed anything about it. Like, they just retooled some of the stuff.
Oh, sorry.
So, the worst part about this, like, it's not... He's not saying that... All they did was change the image.
They just changed a little...
They used the same text, didn't they?
Yep.
You can play... It's Luca and Ransel, okay? That's one of the stories. You can play the Luca and Ransel Valentine story, and then the Luca and Ransel summertime story.
It's
literally the same words with different pictures.
That's cheap. It's like they thought that, oh, maybe from a surface level, the various surface level, they can be like, we have a new event at Dragalia Lost. You know, like a banner ad on some goddamn website.
No, they said Valentine's is coming back. I hope you enjoy it.
But as soon as you, as a player, press the button and go into the event, and you've played the last event, and you go, oh, this is bullshit. Like, immediately, they're literally using, like, the same shit. They're just changing the
exact same text.
Wow. So here's the thing, like, I was going to interject there, is that I kind of fell off Sega Heroes, not only because I don't have the space to update it constantly, but literally their events, unless there's a wild one-off, is just, like, a repeating schedule of the same shit. And it's just kind of become, not a paywall, but just a lot of just grinding. And I feel like, is there one game that you guys can think of? Didn't you just mention one?
Unison League.
Can you guys think of another game that has actually maintained good post-game content without, like, chugging it with microtransactions? I felt like Dragalia, like Kevin said, could have been the one. It could have been a contender.
It's not even so much that it's, like, gatekeepy with its microtransactions. It's just that the content...
Well, I think if a game is going to have good post-game content that keeps its fan base interested, it should not be, grabby or microtransaction-y. I don't think that it has to be a part of the thing. I was just saying, if there was another game like that. Unison League, you've been...
I mean, from a mobile perspective, it's hard to say. Unison League didn't really have any sort of...
What mobile game doesn't have microtransactions, I guess.
Well, right. Unison League didn't really have... I mean, they had events, they had a storyline. The PvP is really what kept us hooked for the most part. But if we're talking about, like, overall games, I think some of the best endgame I've ever had is actually in WoW. Like, World of Warcraft had some really awesome endgame stuff.
Well, and that's, I feel like there has to be a game that finally understands that loop. What we're seeing with games like Assassin's Creed Odyssey, they can keep doling out content and get people with microtransactions or other ways to spend money and feel like they're buying something. Dragalia, it feels like they fell into this the same trap of just, we don't want to write any new content. We're trying to keep milking the same. The next thing you're going to get is the same cosmetics being sold. It's like that thing with Fortnite where they are like, hey, you can buy this new Fortnite dog. And for
we're going to open the vault.
$20. And people are like, it's the same cosmetic you tried to sell us two battle passes ago or something. So Dragalia Lost, do we still think there is a chance? Could they come back?
They definitely could.
Maybe we take a break from it, come back, and some of those events are new?
I might have to.
Yeah, I think I already have.
You guys, Tyler and Kevin, you have played this at a daily rate for a year?
Oh, yeah.
So there's been no stopping.
I took a one-week break in the middle.
We've actually... On SGC, reached an almost natural end to the mobile game. God, has that ever happened?
No.
Do we think overall Dragalia Lost being Nintendo, they make Mario, they make Zelda, their original IP mobile game, right? So we were always super interested. They were like, wow, why aren't they doing a Mario Kart game? Which they are, lol, by the way.
They are.
A Mario Kart mobile game. We're like, whoa, anime boys and girls, original IP. Do we think Dragalia Lost was a good experiment that was well worth our time and effort, or maybe they should have done an Animal Crossing better Animal Crossing.
They should have done a better Animal Crossing, but this is
not exclusive.
Good.
Not mutually exclusive. Right. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I think they did a really good job with this. I think they could still do a really good job with this.
Not a Dragalia Lost 2 scenario, but maybe just add some more. Like, the foundation's already there.
Right.
So Dragalia Lost. Sad to see the down curve going. Is there anything else we want to say about Dragalia Lost as it states before we move on to the last game that all three of us played? Nothing?
Nope, that's it.
Tyler? You're the one who's almost goddamn beaten the game. But you are satisfied. It's good. You guys, at the very least, when you tune in the show, you know that you're getting factual information on mobile games. It's opinionated, but it's facts because we played so many goddamn hours of them. Let's talk about Witch Eye. This is a Devolver Digital game. It's not a free game. It's a paid game. Shouts out to Tyler for being so dope and letting us all play this game.
Sad.
Witch Eye is the game where you play as a witch that's an eye. Tyler, yeah, you can go ahead. You bought it.
A wizard tasks a knight to collect all of a single witch's possessions. So he goes to her house, and she throws all of her ingredients into her cauldron to start a brew.
Yes.
Except he or she is there to collect all of said ingredients, and now you got to get them back. As the knight travels across the land, losing every single piece of treasure,
you follow behind.
You follow behind as an eyeball.
You're playing as a single eyeball. The thing I think I love about this game is that the controls are super simple. It's just swipes, directional swipes, 8 directions, right?
You can swipe in any direction,
but it doesn't. It moves specifically on, like,
I don't think so.
I'm not. No, you're not. You're right, Tyler. I'm wrong. You can't swipe in any direction.
It might be a 32-point axis, but that's it.
The point being is that this is like a retro-looking game. It has this really cool pixel art, but it's very simple. You just swipe you can tap the screen to stop the eyeball from moving.
That is a key strat, by the way.
It's very important later on.
Extremely.
You can bump into enemies, but you have to dodge their bullets. You have a few hearts of health, but really the whole point of the game is to move to the end and beat some mini bosses along the way. It's super retro and it's super fun.
Yeah, sometimes the enemies have little shields or spiky bits that you have to avoid or hit them from the underside. And,
right.
You know, it's all about you're constantly moving unless you tap.
The thing I liked about this game is that it very much led up to, you know, the first level. It doesn't expect you to be able to control all and swipe all over the place. It's just very easy, like, oh, just swipe, get it. But the lead up, the learning curve and the difficulty curve are very in line with each other. And it doesn't throw anything at you that you wouldn't be able to handle without kind of...
Like water.
Yeah, the water world I didn't hate, which was surprising.
It was cool. It was just like, now you're getting the hang of this. Let's turn it up a bit.
It's always throwing a little different factors, a little different features. I really like the bosses. The bosses are cool.
The bosses are interesting.
Yeah.
I think the thing about which I feel like this whole entire segment, we're going to be underselling it because it's very much a game you need to see in motion.
Agreed.
The style. That's what I was going to say. The Sonic style intro screens.
Yeah, I completely forgot.
So good.
Every time you, because it's broken up into worlds. As Tyler said, you're running through these worlds, and at the end of each world, you find a piece of the witch's stuff. Each world is broken up into several stages, and yeah, as you drop in, it has that that very iconic Sonic, what is it, like almost like an oval, and it'll say like
like half the screen is like a purple, like matte color. And
Green the Hill Zone
across,
1.
Yeah,
whatever,
the
right?
title across it. The other half of the screen is the background that you're actually going to be playing in.
You can choose to play as a pacifist, or you can, like, attack enemies and stuff. The only enemies you need to kill are, the bosses that hold keys and stuff. But there are, like, hidden gems that you can find for finding secret areas. I think the reason I like this is that it's almost everything that I like about mobile games combined. It's... Levels are very quick, 20 seconds to a minute.
Yeah.
You die, you start back really fast. It's super easy and intuitive to control. It doesn't feel like at any point you're like, oh, I screwed that up because of the controls. It's always like, oh, I messed up.
There's and you know what?
Wet.
The music's flipping
good. I was just
going
to say the music.
Yeah,
just
no.
Gonna say the music.
It bops. As soon as you start off, you're like, ooh, Spicy, and the pixel art is very, very good. I would say it's maybe not up there with like a Moonlighter or something like that, but it's like a Rogue Legacy almost.
Yeah, it looks like Rogue Legacy. It's fluid in that way.
I would use. And that's not the right word for it. It's rotund. You know, or like some
lush.
Yes, it's very colorful and vibrant too. A lot of like crystals and pinks and stuff like that. There's, I think, like 8 worlds. There's a lot of levels.
It's probably 8.
And the game gets progressively harder as you go. Kind of a bullet hell thing. Bullet hell thing, but it's fun. It's fun. Tyler, do you think that you're going to reach the end of this game like you did Dragalia Lost?
Yeah, but in much, much less time.
I found it to be fun where I would do like 1 world at a time, which is maybe like 6 or 7 stages, 20 seconds a piece. But I feel like, Tyler, this is a game you're just going to sit down one day and just doop, 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 doop.
That's what I did. When I sat down, I played through the first 2 worlds, 2.5 worlds. Like, and I was like, oh, there's secrets in this game. I'm going back now.
I need 100%. Kevin, what have you thought about it?
I have been 100%ing every level before I move on.
I felt like doing that at the beginning.
Did you 100% the first world?
I believe so. Other than like the hidden items.
The hidden item.
Item. Well, there's, maybe I got it.
There's 1 hidden item per world, and then there's the boss item, so 2.
Yeah, like the usually what I do before I exit every level is just like bounce off of every wall and ceiling.
Yeah, you have to find the it's kind of like the turkey hidden in the Castlevania wall.
Yep.
You got to knock everything until you're sure it's not a false wall.
Good old wall meat.
Tyler, how much was this game?
$3.
$3. That's
100% worth.
It's a really good price. That's kind of what I expect. Back in the heyday, you know, like the Angry Birds just came out day.
Did we mention this was Devolver?
This Devolver. I think I said it was published by Devolver Digital, but in case we did not, yeah. Devolver Digital, they also published Ruiner. And why can't I think my Rains. Friend Pedro Reigns? A lot of really, really good games. That's the end of Tyler's Mobile Corner.
I just want to real quick give a shout out.
Do the shout out, dude. Do the shout. We shouted out Colin already. Community member Colin for recommending Arch Hero? That was last episode. What's that game you guys are playing? It's like the bullet hell on the mobile game.
Yeah, Arch Hero.
Can you spell that for
ARCHERO?
It's like a space shooter.
I've been playing the shit out of that game.
With the developer.
Yeah, Turbo McPhaser on Twitter.
Turbo McPhaser.
Peter Smith, just a wonderful game, and thank you so much for...
Yeah, because it was a single dude.
Yeah.
Fantastic indie game if you're looking for something, and it's Witch, so it's like Halloween stuff, guys! We love Halloween!
It's the beginning of Spooktober.
Witch Eye. Let's move on to this last... We're running to the end of the show here. We're coming to the home stretch. We got just one more segment, and then we have our Super Game Riddle. You guys had some good answers this week, or last week, with the Super Game Riddle. We'll get to that at the end of the show. But first, we also have a top 5 that we need to discuss amongst us. We won't have to rank them. You know, I don't want to spend too much time discussing the nuances between who should be number 1, who should be number 2. Let's just together, as a group, choose 5. And this is from a donator, Mike C. You too, once again, go to supergamesite64.com/donate. If you want us to do a top 5 favorite gaming thing, donate $10. If you want to do us to do a deep dive episode on your favorite game, donate $20. I think that feels right. $20. We'll talk about the history, talk about the game itself, our experience with the game, how it was made. Fun stuff with our unique flavor. But for $10, you can get a top 5. And Mike C, donator Mike C, gotta say that multiple times because I love you, buddy. Wanted to know, Super Gamecast 64, what's your favorite top 5 beefiest boys in gaming, dude? A lot of boys this summer. I just want to, while you guys...
Hot boy summer.
The boys on Amazon.
The boys, yeah.
Yeah, beefy boys on this donation thing. The boys that are running through my head.
I got one right away.
Okay. Let it fire, dude.
I got one right away.
Yes.
Coach from Punch-Out.
Oh. Doc Brown. Is that Doc Brown?
I think so.
Or that's the back.
They just call him Doc. They just call him Doc.
Doc, dude.
I think he's Doc Brown. I think you're right.
Dude.
I'm going to look that up.
Is he? Well, he must be beefy because you only ever see him like in the, you know, but you know he threw a few fucking rounds.
Dude, that dude's thick. He's thick.
He's the thickest boys, F-T-H-I-C-C, in gaming. Let me throw one up here.
Doc Lewis.
Doc Brown is the fucking guy from Back to the Future. He's like, Marty! when this bitch hits 88 miles an hour, you're going to see some serious stuff.
I love when he says this bitch. That's my
and
favorite
then I,
part.
And then I changed out the shit for stuff. See, it's
we're
like the Mandela effect. You think you know, you have no ideals.
I thought it was the Mandela effect.
Yellow Devil from Mega Man. How do you like that?
Ooh.
How do you like that, Tyler?
Heart.
If you guys don't know Yellow Devil, because it's like not a name, it's the one when you get towards the end of the game and that fucking monster that breaks off into a million little beefy pieces and runs across the screen, you gotta jump and recognize the whole pattern, makes you can kill it. Fun fact of the Yellow Devil, Mega Man 1, just shoot a pellet at it, and as soon as it hits its eye, you press pause a bunch of times.
Select,
sorry. Tyler knows more about Mega Man than I do. And then you, like, immediately kill it. But I that
know
was
a faster way to do it?
Yes.
Use the Tri-Elec Beam.
Oh, you're not wrong there either. Yes, you can, was it, like, two shots? You're done?
Two shots.
Tyler, you got a chunky boy?
You got chunky man?
No, I feel like I have to come up with a better one.
No. There is an iconic one that is just sitting there. Sitting there. But we were talking about a little Sonic earlier.
Okay. The one that I thought of immediately was Dr. Eggman.
Here's the thing: is I feel like there's a lot of low hanging beef. You know what I mean? Like, we could say Bowser here. Kirby. He's a beefy boy.
Kirby's beefy.
Different kind of beef.
No, I would say DDD.
Wario's beefy.
DDD's Wario.
We could talk about all the beef.
K. Rool
is definitely King K.
I feel
Rool.
Like if we go into Smash Bros, we're not going to come out of it.
No.
If you aren't already realizing this, you can just give us $10 and we're just going to name off a bunch of shit that's about anything, really.
How about Zeke from Infamous? He's a chunky boy.
Zeke? Is that the main character?
No. He's the buddy.
That's Cole.
Cole, he's dude. Buddy. It's been a while since I played Infamous, so I would
Cole
have to. I feel like
Mick.
That. Cole McGrath. Cole McLightning Fingers. He was a good character. Infamous, dude. They should bring that back. Infamous 3. Whatever happened to that? They stopped with Infamous Last Light, Second Sun?
Second Sun.
Second Light? That was the pink
there
one.
There was something light. Yeah.
I thought there was four
first
games.
First light.
There was Infamous that 1, was Infamous game. 2, Infamous question mark, Infamous light pink, the pink light.
We'll I never played out. That one, dude.
It was on the PS4 or PS3 as downloadable content. I played it.
Damn, I gotta
play it. Was a standalone. It was actually really good.
You know, do you remember when the PlayStation Network got hacked?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
They gave everyone a game?
Yes.
That was the game I picked.
I don't have a PS4, so I can never play
Infamous. It's fine. You can just borrow mine.
PS3
dude.
Was
I
the
love
thing.
Infamous.
Just
that's
borrow
like one
my PS4.
Favorite games
or
of all.
Borrow Tyler's PS4. Borrow donator Mike C's PS4 because he never fucking plays it.
Dang, got him.
Got him. It's actually his fiance's PS4. Big Daddy from Bioshock.
Ooh.
You like that? That was what I thought of.
Ooh.
Wasn't an immediate one. He's because it's a beefy boy who's underneath that beefy little suit. If you're interested in the FPS series Bioshock, which is about, imagine what Tyler?
World completely under a lighthouse.
We will be doing deep dives on the Bioshock series coming soon. So if you're thinking like, hey, what am I getting for $20 here? You'll hear these Bioshock episodes, you'll be like, God damn, that was good. And I could pay to get that in my favorite game? Wow. Kevin.
Roadhog.
Yo. Ooh.
Which is pertinent because...
He's a hog.
Well, there's a lot
That's not beef,
of,
though.
There's a, he's not beef. There's a,
Porky
there's,
boy.
There's a rumor going around right now that Overwatch might be coming to the Switch.
So you can get portable Porky boys. Portable Porky boys on
portable
Overwatch
pork.
Switch. Do you think in Overwatch that people even fucking touch the payload anymore?
No, man. Just,
they still don't know how to play it? I played to, I think, level 6.
Everything's Team Deathmatch.
In Overwatch, great. 21. Really? Is that a thing?
No.
Oh, man, that would be cool. I would play as, who's the guy who's, like, crazy and explodes shit? Junkrat.
Oh,
Junkrat.
He's not a beefy boy. He's actually the opposite of a beefy boy.
Correct.
This is a body-positive podcast, too. We love bodies of all types, as long as they're healthy for you and you feel good in them. So, respect the beefiness in you. Go to near your Taco Bell, get a beefy 5-layer burrito,
ooh,
and enjoy it. Yeah,
triple double.
Triple. Oh yeah. Here, weird question. Why Taco Bell? I pose this at Taco Bell. Why is your triple double Crunchwrap less expensive or
than the Crunchwrap?
Yeah. Is it because it's just limited time? Is there a conspiracy? They're trying to get rid of all this Crunchwrap stuff.
Oh. Oh no. Now I'm scared.
Taco Bell. I feel like that's an apt way to end this top five. Unless anyone's...
Oh, wait, no, I got one.
Yeah, keep throwing them in.
So,
throw them
since...
In.
All right.
Beefy Boys. Bowser. Wario.
Kangle.
What the fuck is a Kangle?
Kongle.
What are you saying?
Kongle.
Tyler's making shit
from
up.
From Legend of Dragoon.
Oh, okay. Legend... I think I know where you're going with
Kangle's
this.
Kangle's my hat. Legend of Dragoon. He's half giant.
I hear they're doing a Legend of Dragoon remake?
Remake or remaster?
Yes, Kevin.
What?
Kevin.
E-Honda.
Ooh! Kevin, alright, so you... You guys, slap. I really wish sometimes that we did like live video, because Kevin has been seizing in the corner. Just appear, he's like, he's trying to high five nothing very rapidly. And then I thought he was waxing on, waxing off Mr. Miyagi. So just imagine that out of your peripheral. And then
nobody wants to wax off Mr. Miyagi.
Look, Daniel-san, he got that karate some way. Love you guys. Top five Beavis Boys in Gaming were like the 40 guys that we just named. I'm going to put Yellow Devil at number one. Fuck all of you. Tyler, here's one.
I'd agree to that.
There's
he's not a boy.
I want to pose this. I want to pose this. He's not a beefy. His whole body isn't beefy. But Chris Redfield's biceps in Resident Evil 5.
Ellie from Borderlands.
Yes.
Oh, jeez.
Is she a beefy boy? That's a beefy
girl. She's a girl.
Doesn't matter.
True. True story. Marcus.
Marcus Fenix.
Ooh. From Gears Pop.
Damn.
Yeah.
From Gears Pop. Yeah.
From Gears Pop.
That's my number one.
Hey, his head.
I just want you to know that there are no roadie rolls or whatever they are.
Oh, you can't roadie run?
No.
Damn.
You don't control them.
Oh, okay.
There might be a thing in the future where it's like, you couldn't dodge an attack with the roadie roll.
You couldn't make a bobblehead roadie run because they would just be top heavy. It would not work.
They lean forward.
We are moving into the end here. Does anyone have any beefy boys before we do the ending of our episode? Beefy boys? Here's what we're going to say. As we finish this episode, if you have any beefy boys in gaming, Tyler Radoban. And Kevin, you can just yell them out, but I'm not going to answer them. Coming up on Super Game Site 64. We said we're the official podcast of Super Game Site 64, because it's a website where you can go for reviews, opinion articles about movies, TVs, games, and guys, there is new content on Super Game Site 64 for you to check out, including our official review of Blazing Chrome, which was that indie run and gun game we talked about in episode 129. We also have, get this, every episode of Netflix's Love, Death, and Robots, that sci-fi anthology trilogy that's kind of spooky, ranked from worst to best. Kevin, you just finished that, didn't you?
I did.
Give it a out of 10. What do you think?
Oof.
9?
Total?
Would you say it's good?
Oh, yeah, 9.
Yeah. High recommend.
For sure.
I think it's fantastic.
For sure.
Tyler, have you...
What about for Tyler?
Tyler, there are certain ones that you should avoid. However, the rest are amazing, and you should watch them.
Well, I don't know. Tyler, are you frightened by, like, cartoon? You like Castlevania, right?
It's not the...
It ain't the gore and shit I'm worried about.
It's the future.
Yes, there are two that will really scare you because of your fear of like cosmic horror.
You know the one I'm thinking of is the spacesuit one. You remember that one, Matt?
Yes, the spacesuit
one. You'd fucking hate
that one.
Let me explain.
Yeah.
You remember that episode of Twilight Zone where there's that lady on the window?
Yes. We've discussed this. But for new listeners, yes.
There's a dude sitting inside an airplane and there's a person outside the airplane while it's flying.
Yeah.
And he, like, breaks the window open.
Yes.
This is just why I have a fear of flying.
Is that... Because he thinks there's going to be a man on the side of the...
If I close the thing, I do not open it again.
You would also not like the number one episode, which you will have to go to supergamesite64.com to find out what our number one favorite episode of Love, Death, and Robots on Netflix is. By the by, if you were like, oh, maybe I'll watch it, you should watch it, because season 2 is greenlit, and more people are going to start talking about the show.
The ones that I think you really would like, I think you'd really, really you would get a lot of value out of watching them. Good example, Sunny's Edge is like one of the coolest
Yo,
ones.
Yeah, Sunny's Edge is really good.
There's this one with these like hillbilly farmers that's really awesome.
Suits? Is that what you're talking
about?
Yeah,
man.
There's a really good steampunk cross like classic Japanese aesthetic, dude, and that is so good hunting.
Whoop. How long are they?
They're like 10, 15 minutes.
6 maybe. To 15. I think the longest is 22 minutes, but that's the exception.
They're fantastic.
They're really good.
You can tell from the description if you'll be into it or not.
We get to the last segment of this show, we do have to discuss social places. But before I do that, if you want to find out new stuff on supergamesite64.com before you hear it on our podcast, you can sign up for our newsletter, guys. You can sign up for our newsletter, and with the first 30 people who sign up for our newsletter, you will get a free game from the Humongous Entertainment Bundle. You guys know Humongous Entertainment. Spy Fox, Freddy Fish, Jumpstart Third Grade.
Putt-putt.
Putt-fuck, dude, yeah. Putt-putt.
Sound like you said butt-putt.
Butt-putt, I would play butt-putt. That game. Putt-putt travels through time. Putt-putt goes to the moon, just like Where's Waldo in that Bethesda-made NES game. The first 30 people who sign up for our newsletter will receive a free game, your choice, while they last, I guess. There's 30 different games. But go ahead, check out supergamesite64.com. Go to the podcast section. You can look at the show notes for episode 130 for a direct link to the newsletter. It's also in the bottom right corner of all of our pages, or most of the pages, on supergamesite64.com. Boys and girls, you can find us on a variety of social pages. Most popping is our Facebook fan group, I'm going to say. Do you guys agree right now?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
The Facebook
That's
fan...
That's all Facebook's good for anymore.
Yep.
The group. You're not the wrong groups. At all. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The page... We do have fan pages for both Super Game Site 64 and Super Game Cast 64, but if you want to get a part of the community... Kevin, yes.
We got this really excellent photo that we're going to post up there that we got at the wedding this weekend.
Yeah, what we said earlier on Instagram, and we'll put it on the group. We'll put all over the place. It'll be great. You guys will love it. But hop on to Super Gamecast 64's Facebook fan group. Just type in Super Gamecast 64 on your Facebook. We're always growing. It's great. Twitters! The show Twitter is at Super Gamecast 64. But if you want to talk to me personally, I'm at SGC64Matt.
I'm no longer at gingerbeard_man.
What's your new... Beer you have a new Twitter handle?
I changed it.
What's the new Twitter
Thanks
handle?
Thanks to suggestions. Countless suggestions from friend of the show, Kevin.
What's... Okay, and you got a very nice and clean because
new
this
Twitter
is,
handle.
Yeah, whoa.
At P. Krubs. K-R-U-B-S. P. Krubs. P stands for powerful or
P. Krubs.
Whatever I decide it is this week.
P. Krubs. Nice!
P-K-R-U-B-S. That's
very well done. And Tyler?
I'm at decoy_plus.
Whoa! Whoa!
We did not tell Matt about this before the show.
Yeah, we kind of did it today.
We did it on the way here. Kevin, Kevin always gives me an ass ache because he's like, what's your Twitter name? Is it gingerbeard_manbeer?
If you are new to the show, this is your first episode, welcome. And thank you for listening this far in. This has been a good episode. We're not done. But I just wanted to explain that. For how long? Like...
Dude, I've had
60 episodes?
Oh, I've had my Twitter handle like
Easily
that for like
80 episodes.
I've had my Twitter handle like that, I think, since I started Twitter.
These boys just all of a sudden, we have the beginning of the episode, Super Gamecast 64 is almost as iconic as our Twitter readoffs, and then you guys are throwing me through a loop. 2019 is, I'm scared.
Dude.
I didn't know my boys went this high.
Turn over a new leaf.
New leaf's turned. Fall is coming. Also, email us. Hello@supergamesite64.com for all questions and concerns. You guys want to talk to us on Facebook? Like I said, the Facebook fan group. There's Instagram @supergamesite64.com. That's where you can see all the greatest pictures, all the greatest videos of video games and our cute faces taken at weddings. But we do have one last thing for you. You guys have been liking the Super Game Riddle thing. Kevin started it this season. It's been great. He reads out a poem, a limerick, some sort of mystical thing for you. And you have to guess what it is. But before we get into episode 130's Super Game Riddle, I want to bring up the question or the answers that we got for episode 129's. Kevin, I don't know if you have it in front of you. Do you remember what episode 129's Super Game Riddle was?
Yeah, would you like me to read it?
Yeah, can you read it?
A brave hero far from his home walks through layers of time unknown. Overcoming a scourge, wisdom, power, and courage, it's dangerous going alone.
That was last episode's, and we had a bunch of great answers from our Facebook community, which I will read now. Colin!
That was Aloy from Horizon Zero Dawn.
Aloy yeah, from Horizon
it.
Zero Dawn. Colin,
got
it previously aforementioned Colin, who recommended Archero to us.
Yeah, such a good game.
He says it's Link, but we'll see if that's correct, because we also had Greg, who said Captain Planet!
Ooh,
yeah, like
guess,
Captain
guess.
Planet, heart, power. Dave, friend of the show, Dave also said Link. So it looks like Link is winning. But then actually he corrected later and said Mr. Bucket, which I think more apt.
Fuck yeah, dude.
He is a hero
how
time.
Forget Mr. Bucket.
Mr. Bucket, you put the balls in his mouth.
No, Mr. Bucket's the girl.
Lachlan. Creator of a 90skid.com, Lachlan, says Halo.
Ah, yes, Halo.
How can I forget Halo?
The main character of the Master Chef collection.
And... God damn it. Kevin, what was the answer to episode 129 Super Game Riddle?
It was Link.
It was Link. Well, I think it's Mr. Bucket. So it was Mr. Bucket.
It was Mr. Bucket.
It was Halo. It was Mr. Chef.
My favorite part is when Mr. Bucket goes in the cave and the old man goes, it's dangerous to go alone, take this, and he just dumps a bunch of balls into his head.
Episode 130. We got a new super game riddle for you.
First one that's not going to be a limerick, too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I felt the rhyme in me today.
Kevin, here's the thing. We've been posting these. The first one was Mario. The second one was Pikachu. The third one was Link. These are all easy ones that people know. And now people are trying to fucking throw things back saying this Halo, one. Saying a Mr. Bucket.
This one, if you know the game, you're going to get it instantly. If you don't know the game, you're not going to have any fucking clue.
You're going to sit there and go, are you sure this is a video game?
This is an actual brain teaser. And this is the world wherein we're not just going to give you the answer right away. You're going to have to stew with it for 2 weeks. So I want to see some serious guesses. Kevin, can you deliver the super game riddle for episode 130?
You ready?
Yes. Listen closely. This is your time to shine.
This one's obscure and maybe not fair, but this robot maid has choppy green hair. Her attitude's sweet. Her skills aren't fake. Saving Dr. Theo with a quick shake.
I know that shit. Read it one more time slower for the audience, but yes, I love that one.
This one's obscure and maybe not fair, but this robot maid has choppy green hair. Her attitude is sweet. Her skills aren't fake. Saving Dr. Theo with a quick shake.
Yo, if you guys actually get this in the Super Gamecast 64 group, I feel like whoever gets this one correct should get one of the games from the Humongous Entertainment thing.
Yeah, good.
If you want it. Like, honestly, I know what it is. Tyler said he was not
able to get it.
I've never played this game. This is an actual game, and it took me a solid 10 minutes of Googling to figure out what the hell was going on.
You'll get it eventually. If you want to answer, of course, you can answer on our Facebook page. It'll be on the official show notes for the podcast, which is on supergamesite64.com/podcast, where you can answer there by creating an account and do a vote up and vote down thing. There's tons of fun stuff. Guys, this was an excellent episode. Tyler. There's going to be a bunch of Spooktober coming, but before that, so we have excited. September. We're looking forward to Borderlands 3, Link's Awakening, a bunch of games, some remasters. We got Catherine coming out.
River City Girls.
Ooh, River City Girls.
You said Catherine?
Catherine's getting a... Oh. With the three Catherines, dude.
Right.
I'm so excited for new Catherine.
Monster Hunter.
P5R.
Dude, so many games.
February.
We have so much to talk about. We'll see you guys on episode 131, 132. If you've listened this far, you are you're level 9? Tyler? I always look at Tyler.
9.
You're level 9 if you've been with us throughout this whole entire season. If you're a new listener, congratulations. You got an experience point. That's how it works. Every episode you listen to, you get an experience point. You're level 9. If you've been listening since season 4, you're prestige level 1. Listening since season 3, prestige level 2. Anything longer than that, email me. I'm going to send you something cool. Games all here. I don't know. I think thanks guys for listening. Did I forget anything?
Imagine a podcast completely underwater.
Imagine a podcast, he said, Tyler.
Help, I'm drowning.
Help, I'm drowning. Stick it to your mom. Bye.
Bye.